Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it. Maureen Ross Jim was a drug addict and alcoholic as a teenager and into her early 20s. She got help and achieved a complete transformation, which led to an amazing life. With over 35 years of sobriety, she had a corporate career and now coaches and trains leaders on how to improve their culture at work by doing their own deep inner work. Maureen loves to ride her motorcycle, play with her grandchildren, and helps people develop a solid inner support system. Maureen is an authorized partner of Everything DISC and helps leaders to create a culture of a caring workplace. Maureen Ross Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rosa. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so excited that you joined us so late out on your side of town. It sounds like you got some chilly weather and you're ready for this conversation.
Yep, it's getting to be winter here, that's for sure. Don't remind me, you in Southern California.
Thank well, me you with my much. sunny Southern California in the middle of now December today.
Yeah.
Let's talk, because prior to recording, you and I started to have a real deep conversation and I wanted to go ahead and just start recording. But we were talking about some of the work that you do with people in recovery. You've spent a lot of years and the parallels to what principles you learned there for leadership. And the conversation just was really flowing. So let's just pick it up.
Great. Well, yeah, Rosa, I got sober and clean from drugs and alcohol when I was 24 years old. So I started that horrible path when I was 14. By the time I was 15, I was pretty much a full-blown alcoholic. I skipped the first day of school in 10th grade and probably about 62 days I skipped of school that year. And the whole first week of my junior year, I spent in detentions making up for all the detentions, right? But what happened when I got into recovery finally? I mean, I hit bottom. It was horrible. I had a ton of guilt and shame. I hated who I was. I didn't know who I was, but I always had a strong work ethic. And I had a full-time job and a part-time job too, usually at a bar, so that I could support my habit and drink at the same time. But what happened was when I got clean and sober, I had a major transformation. I had to change everything about myself, which I did. All my friends, I had to change my habits, my thinking, my behaviors. And also I started diving deep into personal growth and development. Mm. So now fast forward after a 27-year corporate career, and now I've had my own business for the last 9 years called Emerge Leadership Academy. And I've been training leaders, corporations, also manufacturing, government, healthcare, all different types of markets. I found that leaders have all of the same things in common. Whenever I ask them, what are the best characteristics of the best boss that you ever had? You know, what are the character? And they say the same things. And Rosa, all those things, and you can list them off, right? It's trust. It's friendly, approachable. They care about me. They have empathy. They have my back. They'll talk me through mistakes. They give me growth opportunities. They care. They have integrity and honesty. And those are all the things that you learn when you're in recovery. You learn to listen. You learn to check your ego at the door. You learn that your first thought is not your best thought. You learn to hold back your reactions before and think about things. You also own your character defects and you speak up when you have stuff like that or when you think you may have hurt someone. And all of those are the best leadership capabilities. Do you agree?
Totally. I'm listening to those and I would agree 100%. Let's just mention this because it's part of this conversation. I talked with you about the DISC assessment and how I actually tested equally for the D and the C. So let's just talk about it briefly because I do want to get into the deeper conversation and the fact that me as a D and a C, I'm super task driven and probably don't come across with those characteristics unless I slow myself down and let people see that.
Right. So the DISC, I am an authorized partner of the Everything DISC and a certified facilitator. So I use that always in my coaching and my training, because mm-hmm. in the class, you know, when you take that assessment, you learn so much about yourself. People say things like, oh my God, this is really scary accurate, right?
Because, right.
And we're so different, our personalities, and yet we come to work and we sometimes think we need to shut the personality off. But here's the thing. We need to influence more using the best qualities of our personality instead of influencing using our title or influencing using our knowledge. Well, yeah. You should listen to me because I'm a subject matter expert and this is the way to do it. So do it. Well, right. You know, you could influence me that way, but it's going to be a whole lot more if you're friendly, if you listen to me, if you ask maybe for what I already know before you start telling me what to do, things like that.
Yeah, you can get compliance in different ways, but when people are committed to your vision and your mission, that's when you truly have a connection. And that's a healthy culture. People aren't scared of you. They can approach you and talk to you.
Right.
And I think the DISC assessment is very helpful because I think you're saying play to your strengths. And when you know what you're like, then you can navigate all of that.
So would it be helpful for the listeners to just briefly go around and
let's just go through them because some people may not.
Okay.
Right.
So DISC is DISC, and each one stands for a different quadrant, if you will. And when you think of a quadrant, like in this circle, the first quadrant is the D. This is just simply a preference that you might have if you tend towards this. So think about while you're listening to these qualities, does this apply to me? Some of it might, but you're going to find one or two, in like Rosa's case, that definitely apply more than the other two. Okay. So you might have a primary and a secondary. And this will help you when you understand this to know why some people really bug you in the office or why true. You get along with other people really, really well. Okay. So the D stands for dominance. And these are the folks that are very direct. They're fast paced. They're results driven. They want answers. They're great problem solvers. They dive into figuring things out, and they sometimes even cut corners because they want to get the job done or the project done. And they do not like people who dilly-dally and don't do their job. Mm-hmm. They really want more fast-paced, and they're very outgoing, but sometimes they can also seem like they don't care. They care more about the job than sometimes the people. This is just a generalization. I'm not trying to just label anybody, but those are the basic characteristics. And there's certain values and there's limitations, there's really good things, and there's also some challenges, right, for each of these personality types. The second one is I. It stands for influence or influencer. And the I personality type also is very fast-paced and outgoing, and they do like action-oriented. They drive for results as well, along with the D, but they're much more enthusiastic and friendly. These are like your cheerleader types. They love collaboration. They really like people. They're constantly cracking jokes, or they're kind of the life of the party. This is, again, generalizations, but sometimes they can also seem a little chaotic because they're super creative people. They're idea folks. And so if they're running a meeting, they could be all over the place or get off on tangents. We've seen it happen. Some people will say, we've only cover two out of these five agendas, and it's been a half an hour because it can happen that way.
Right.
All right. So that's your influencer. The third one is S. S stands for steadiness. Now, these are your folks that share collaboration and they love of people with the I. But they're more calm and steady. They like harmony. They do not want fast paced all the time. They need time to slow down, but they're super good resource people. They like to be stable. So if you're going to throw a wrench or give them a last minute assignment, you're going to have to help them to prioritize, because S's sometimes don't know how to say no. They always want to please you. They want to be liked, and they sometimes overload themselves with too much. So we all know who these people are. They're kind of unsung heroes sometimes in the office. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of recognition, but you definitely need to recognize them gently, subtly, not in front of a big crowd, but they are really great, get it done kind of worker bees a lot of the time. Then you come to the last one, which is your C personality type. And the C stands for conscientiousness. And these are your sort of project manager and engineer types. They're very precision and systems oriented, process oriented, and they are accuracy focused. So they're great with spreadsheets and numbers and getting things organized, like in systems, and double and triple checking things. So they also need more time, like the S's. They want a stable environment. They're very objective. They're not near as emotional, but sometimes they can also seem sort of cold and aloof, or they like working by themselves. Like, do not do any touchy-feely warm-up exercises.
Just get to work.
They just want to work. But when you give them work to do, don't ask them to be too creative. Tell them exactly what you want. Give them the specs, give them the facts, and then they're going to go and they're going to do it, and they're going to get it done on time. They're going to get it done right. You see what I mean? So you can see the different personalities, that like the opposites sometimes might get driven a little bit crazy by the other one.
Yeah, for sure. I can totally relate. And it definitely changed my leadership to be familiar with these concepts, because it helped me to adapt and realize that I needed to connect with the people more and slow down for them, because they operate differently than my expectations. And giving instructions matters when you know who you're dealing with.
When you're talking about leadership and management as well, it's management is very conducive to your D's and C's. The people that are experts in their field, they often get promoted because they were so good at their job, and maybe they became a mentor or they taught other people how to do their job. But now that you're working with people all the time, you need to take that time to really get to know yourself, what your skills really are here, and expand out of your comfort zone to connect with the people on your team, to take the time to build those relationships, because that's what's going to keep them around. That's what's going to make them feel care about them. Right.
That's the commitment and the caring, like you're talking about, because what happens is people now see the human behind it all. You can be a high achieving, competent person, but unless they can connect you as a person, that they're afraid to fail, they're afraid to take risks, especially an S, I would imagine, would have a hard time working with someone who doesn't connect with people, because now it's like, I'm afraid to get it wrong.
Well, yeah. And they also feel like, well, if you don't care about me, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be loyal to you. 46% of people say that they leave their jobs because of their manager.
Totally.
That can be changed.
Right.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. If you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training, where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen, heard, and understood. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponceleon.com. There, you'll also find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
Let's talk about a perfect transition point here, because now we can talk about, we've just mentioned the importance of connecting with people and understanding the differences in personalities and how we can gain more commitment from people from a place of they want to do the right thing and they feel safe with you, to the extent that tapping into your other expertise, that you might become aware of traumas or things that are happening in their life that are now showing up in personality behaviors or in some type of mindset issues or things that might become evident to you as a leader, where you know you need to help this person overcome this hurdle, but you may not have the tools to do it. So can we talk a little bit more about what you do to help people recover? Because you're saying that those things help in leadership skills as well.
Right. Well, you know, I think one of the things that I teach in all of my classes is listening with empathy. Mm-hmm. And this is a skill that is worth looking deeper into. It doesn't mean you have to fix anybody. It doesn't mean you even have to provide solutions, but sometimes just taking a little bit of time to let somebody air their grievances or talk about what's going on with them is all that's really needed. And then you ask them and you parrot back, this is what I heard you say. You're feeling this way because of this has happened. Now, there are some personality types that have drama all the time. We also have pretty good BS detectors, right? Mm-hmm. Especially people in recovery, because we've all used the best excuses for trying to get out of stuff for before we get sober or clean or whatever. So as you go, you can tell pretty much if somebody, like the consistent worker, they're coming to work every day on time and suddenly they're not on time. And if you're in a manufacturing environment, for example, it upsets the line when somebody's not there ready to do their job when they say they will. But you ask them what's going on, they say, oh, nothing, I'm fine. Well, some types will just ignore it. Okay. Or they might not even say anything. They might not even ask what's going on. But if you dig a little deeper and you do confront it and get them in the office and say, listen, this is your behavior. This is what I've noticed. And this is what's impacting. And it's going to impact you. Then you're going to get a whole lot more answers. It's going to either be some kind of excuse or some kind of sharing and talking. And that's when you can use that listening with empathy and help them to get help if they do need some kind of help, because some people do, especially during COVID, right? There was a lot going on.
And working with people with addictions, one of the hard parts is when you're addicted, you know that this addiction is probably not healthy. And until you're ready to change or ready to see that you need the help and you're willing to participate in the transformation and the healing, it's really hard to get there unless you're ready.
Oh, so, that's totally true. You can't get anybody else clean until they're ready. Yeah.
So for people who might have employees or part of their team, and there might be a clear indication that maybe there's an addiction or a previous addiction, and maybe there's some residual behavioral issues. What's the best way, other than empathetic listening? So now we've listened and we see the issue. How do we confront it in such a way that we're compassionate and empathetic to the person?
Now, this is the hard part, right? Because it does take a, you know what? I've noticed that not only are you late, I smell alcohol when you're coming into work today, or you look really run down. I care about you. I want what's best for you. You may not be ready to get sober, but if you continue to have these behaviors, there will be consequences. I cannot continue to enable you, but I can get you help. We have an EAP program. Almost every single company over 50 employees has some kind of HR EAP program. There is help out there for you. There's 12-step programs. The boss person should not be the one to mentor them through that sort of thing. You got to get them to the help, to the counseling or whatever it is that they need.
Right.
But even in the meantime, even if the person's not ready, at least they may curb some of those behaviors. It will, because so many people say they don't say anything because they think I'm judging them. Well, in fact, we are kind of judging them. Your behavior is not as good as I know you can be. And you are using some substance to escape in some way. And your life is probably going downhill. And once it starts affecting work, that's usually you're at the end of the barrel. You know, you're at the end of your rope. So
it's time to do something about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Enabling doesn't help.
You use an example of substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or other substances, but two, there are addictions to other things. Like we talked about process addiction, where you're addicted to just being busy and having some type of structure in your life. And that becomes your addiction, or you're addicted to other things.
Oh yeah. We have shopping, we have food and sugar. Right. Mm-hmm. We also have sex addictions. Mm-hmm. We have gaming addictions, gambling addictions, and workaholics. You've heard that term, right?
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of them.
Thank you for that. So without a doubt, those things in measure, or I don't even know how to call them, in a healthy way, those are all acceptable things in some cases. If you want to be a gambler and you can do it healthily, that's okay. But when it starts to impact your daily routine and it now becomes an addiction that has impaired you from meeting your expectations.
Functional, right.
That's the distinction we're making here. And so for people that are listening, if you have team members or people that are struggling, what would be your biggest advice in terms of confronting and giving the resources? But if the person does demonstrate that they're making a change and they're getting healthy, what's the best advice that you can get as a support system from a workplace? What would be the ideal culture for someone like that?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, the first thing is that you said when an addiction begins to impact your functioning, but you know what? For years, Rosa, I was a very high functioning alcoholic. The thing is, though, I was not happy. You can notice there's other symptoms besides, well, they're doing their job okay, but they're miserable. They're not happy at all. You know, things are not good. They feel trapped. And we notice that we call it an attitude problem, but it could just be depression. There's a lot of reasons, right, that people use substances to try to feel better, but there's other ways. And so the second part of your question is, how do they get help? They have to actually want and reach out for help. But if they know that somebody cares about them and can help them get the help, that's the first step. It's really hard to ask for help if you think somebody's just closed off to that. They don't give a crap. They just want you to do your job. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And so now the person's asked for help. And I guess I'm looking more for a support system in the job, right? In the workplace. Because in some cases, like the last thing we want to do is be like, until you get better, we're done with you, right? We want you to still come to work if you're able to. Yep. And during this transformational period. But the reality is those processes can be very draining and they can be very personal and they can unearth a lot of other things that you now have to confront in your healing process. And so as a supervisor, how would I create an environment that is supportive of that healing?
I just love it. I would wish that everybody could just stop the stigma, stop making a judgment that this person can really help it, that, oh, they're just not strong enough. It's not about that. But if you can give them time, like say, hey, if you need to go to a meeting at lunch, check out and go to that meeting. If you need to leave a little early, go leave a little early. If you need to take a 15 or 20 minute step away from the office and do a little meditation, then do that. Do what you need to do to take care of you, because that's the most important thing. If they feel too much stress and pressure about what they have to perform or how they have to deliver this or that, and they don't feel like they can really take care of themselves, then they're going to suffer. And guess what? They're going to use again or relapse.
Right.
And that's not good, because then you're just going to end up trying to get somebody else. So that's where your compassion comes in. That's where sometimes you have to say, you know what? It's okay if I don't get this report till tomorrow. Go to your meeting, do what you got to do, and give me the report tomorrow. And that goes so long. It goes so far to helping somebody say, oh, my boss cares about me. They're supporting me. I can get the help I need during the day when I'm stressed out. And I can tell them, I need a break right now. I'm really, you know, freaking out. If it's overused, maybe they need to take some time off to go, you know, to a treatment center or whatever, if they have to do that. But I think there are ways. And you know what? When my employer is giving me the time to do what I need to do to take care of myself, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that that job gets done and it gets done well.
And we got to think of the long game here, because there are going to be times when maybe either their peers might say, how come so-and-so is getting a break all the time, right? And I think there's a place for, obviously, respect the person's privacy, but hopefully we can have an open atmosphere where people are also joining in and being supportive and understanding that it's not always going to be like this, but right now this is what this person needs. And long-term, when they're healthy, this is going to be super critical that we do this right.
Yep. And you know what else they can do is don't just always have, oh, let's go to happy hour this week.
Right. I mean,
there might be a lot of other ways that you can have team building that doesn't involve alcohol or that sort of escape thing. So there are ways that you can do some really fun things at work without that. So that's
totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you just have to want to. Well, we're getting closer to the end. So let's wrap up and just talk about it, because I think with all the changes we've seen in the workplace and all the virtual networking now that's happening, we've learned that there are ways to be creative. Like I've heard of different games people are doing on virtual meetings and they're still having fun. So if you want to, there's tons of resources out there.
Yeah, there definitely are. And one of the fun ways that you can find out what your personality type is you could go to my website at Emerge Leadership Academy, spelled just three words in a row, emergeleadershipacademy.com, and take the quiz to find out what animal best represents your leadership style. So Rosa, what do you think the D what animal?
I don't know. I'd have to know a list of the animals, but I'd probably get it wrong. I kind of want to take the quiz and see for myself.
All right. Well, do you want me to tell the animal?
Yeah, tell
or no?
me.
So the yeah. D is represented by the wolf.
Oh, wow.
Goes after what they want, but always for the good of the pack, right?
Oh, I like that.
And the I is represented by the dolphin, the very happy, chatty, friendly, family-oriented, you know, fun animal.
And that's cool.
The S is represented by the Saint Bernard, loyal, comes to your rescue, will stand by you till the end, except for in my case, that little doesn't carry brandy, that little bottle, it carries green tea. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
And then the last one is the conscientiousness. The C is represented by the beaver leader because they create this system, this beautiful environment that is supportive of the whole family.
I love it. Thank you for that resource. And that's a free resource for our listeners who want to take advantage of that quiz and get a little bit more understanding. Have your people take it as well. And then as far as connecting with you further, what would be the best place?
Yeah, you can reach me at Emerge Leadership Academy. And I would love it if you would connect with me on LinkedIn as well. I do a lot of training, leadership training. I also have a program called Recovery at Work, where I work with individuals. So if people are ready to focus on the next best version of themselves and get that promotion at work, two of my clients this year, one just got a $130,000 increase in salary and went up two grade levels from a director to a senior vice president over at another company. And another one just got a $12,500 increase in salary and a $15,000 bonus. All from
that's not
going
small
through
change.
My program. Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your time with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Rose. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.